97 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Stonehenge. The iconic, legendary rock band Spinal Tap are back and bigger than ever in a new documentary called Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. Coming up, band members David St. Hubbins and Nigel Tufnell join me to talk about their reunion and about some of the surprising benefits of rocking out in your 70s.
Now, you sit down to write a song and you say, well, I don't feel like getting up. I might as well finish.
There are also some challenges, like hearing loss.
It's like a jalapeno of the ear. The tang lingers on.
Yeah, it's like a knitting needle with a hammer into your head.
Yeah.
They also discuss some of the stars who appear in the new film, like Sir Paul McCartney.
No one's saying he's not a good songwriter. He's really a decent songwriter, but he had all this advice, and it was not asked for, and it put me out a bit.
Spinal Tap today. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. Authorities continued to search on Thursday for an inmate who escaped from the Northeast Regional Correction Center in Saginaw on Tuesday evening. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office notified the public on Wednesday that deputies were searching for 40-year-old Michael Todd Hart. They've since identified and detained two alleged accomplices, including one who was charged with aiding an offender and was in jail as of Thursday morning. According to a news release, 911 operators received multiple calls on Wednesday reporting Hart was seen around Highways 8 and 53. Canine tracking teams, a Minnesota State Patrol fixed-wing aircraft, drones, and many deputies and officers from assisting agencies searched for Hart. The sheriff's office says reporting time delays and the challenging, heavily wooded, and swampy terrain contributed to this. Authorities believe Hart will try to make his way back to the Iron Range, where he has many friends, families, and other associates. Hart is white, 5 feet 10 inches and about 170 pounds with brown hair and blue eyes. Anyone who thinks they see him should not approach and call 911. A 28-year-old woman was charged with wire fraud on Wednesday for what federal prosecutors allege is her role in a $14 million scheme to defraud Minnesota's Medicaid autism treatment program. The Minnesota Reformer reports Asha Farhan Hassan is the first person charged as part of what is believed to be a wide-ranging investigation. The theft occurred from the state's Early Intensive Developmental Behavioral Intervention Services program, which is supposed to assist people under 21 with autism spectrum disorder. Prosecutors also say Hassan used her business to defraud the federal child nutrition program that was at the center of the massive pandemic-era food aid scandal known as Feeding Our Future. Hassan's attorney told the Reformer that Hassan will plead guilty to the charge. In 2019, she started a company with several partners to purportedly provide one-on-one therapy to children with autism. According to court records, they approached parents in the Somali community to enroll children in order to be reimbursed by the state. But some of the children were not diagnosed with autism. In a statement, the state's Department of Human Services says it currently has 84 open cases on autism providers. The Minnesota House Capital Investment Committee has been touring the state to hear more about bonding requests ahead of the upcoming session. Larissa Donovan tagged along for a stop at Bemidji State on Tuesday evening.
As part of the Minnesota State College and University System, Bemidji State is frequently included in state bonding requests, recently receiving funds to upgrade the roof of the Science Hall SACAST. Committee members toured the campus grounds, hearing a request to upgrade parts of the university's heating plant before sitting down at the American Indian Resource Center for other regional requests. The area special education cooperative pitched a special education center to serve rural school districts. Executive Director Tiffany Littman says with $6.5 million in state funding, the Crookston-based facility could serve 11 districts in northwest Minnesota for special education students with high needs, who otherwise have to be placed out of their homes, out of district, which can cost up to $100,000 per pupil.
This is not about just a school. It's a lifeline, a wraparound whole child system of support for students, family, and our staff.
And Northern Township pitched a request for the second phase of its planned wastewater treatment facility. Township Administrator Chris Lane says they could feasibly complete the goal of installing sewer around Lake Bemidji within a few years.
We have already gotten help on the federal level. We're kicking in money from the local community too, and hopeful that we can find a way just to get this project across the finish line.
Lake of the Woods County Commissioners also pitched the need for a new jail to replace their 40-year-old facility. The Bemidji stops also included a tour of the BCA facility as well as a storm damage tour. House committee members asked a few questions of each presenter before loading back onto the tour bus, with stops expected all over Greater Minnesota before the northwestern leg of the tour ended Thursday. Larissa Donovan, KAXC News.
The Roseau County Sheriff's Office says a pet bobcat escaped from its owner near War Road on Thursday. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources says to not approach the animal if you see it and to call the DNR or the Sheriff's Office. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXC News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. There's perhaps no band in the history of rock and roll as influential, as legendary, or as loud as Spinal Tap. The group, led by singer and guitarist David St. Hubbins, guitarist Nigel Tufnell, and bassist Derek Smalls, has put out 16 studio albums since their formation in the 60s, including such classics as 1974's Intravenous de Milo and Y2K's www.spinaltap.album. They became a household name in 1984 with the release of the documentary This is Spinal Tap, which followed the band as they toured to promote their controversial album Smell the Glove. But for the past 15 years, Spinal Tap's amps have been silent. Until now. Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues, is a new film chronicling the band reuniting for one final, contractually obligated show. And in a moment, David St. Hubbins and Nigel Tufnell, who, by the way, bear absolutely 100% zero relation to famed comedians Michael McKean and Christopher Guest, join me to talk about getting the band back together, as well as the new soundtrack for the film that features luminaries like Elton John and Paul McCartney. Our conversation is in just a moment, but first, taking you back to one of their classics, their 1984 hit, Big Bottom. This is Spinal Tap. I'm Raina Duris. Today on World Cafe, I'm joined by two icons of rock music whose work has shaped an entire generation of artists. I'm speaking with Spinal Tap's David St. Hubbins and Nigel Tufnell. David, Nigel, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you very much. Raina.
It's great to have you. I'm glad to see you've both recovered well from your injuries.
It was a difficult time. It's true. Last year was not an unalloyed joy. There was a lot of joy, but it got alloyed along the way.
Yeah, definitely.
So, there was some medical problems, but we're fairly good.
We're okay now. Yeah, we're healthy.
Not too bad.
That's wonderful to hear. Well, let's start at the beginning, I guess. When Hope Faith, the daughter of your late manager, Ian Faith, approached you, when you found out that you had to do one more show, what was going through your mind?
Surprise. Shock.
Terrified,
scary.
Well, we hadn't spoken.
15 years.
Yeah. Really?
For various personal reasons. Mm. None of them creative.
No.
Well, not really. And I was a bit taken aback. I thought if I was going to go back to the stage and perform with these blokes, it should be my choice. But to find out that we were being frog-marched into the world, into the great tapestry of rock and roll once again, if one can indeed be frog marched into a tapestry. I was disconcerted. I was.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
Yeah. Well, when you got back into the studio together, how long did it take for you to find your groove again?
Oh, we found the groove right away. It was the music we couldn't hack. No, we had a groove. We had a good drummer, new drummer, Dee Dee Crockett.
Yeah.
Who has really done some amazing work.
She's great. Yeah.
And
I think the music comes back very quickly.
Yeah.
The words don't come back. The lyrics don't come back. you forget lyrics, not you. We forget lyrics. Yeah. We had to look them up on what you young people call the internet. We looked them up.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to look them up in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
We're actually in the number. And thank God there's a guitar solo. I can check my phone and see what I'm saying. Oh, yes, yes, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
It goes, you know, first the knees and then the names.
Yeah, but the music comes back right straight away, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of your new drummer, I mean, it is potentially a sensitive subject, the string of drummer deaths in the band, which has kind of been an ongoing thing. When a new drummer starts playing with you, what instructions do you give them?
You mean life instructions or music instructions?
I mean, maybe both.
Well, music, they audition, so she was a great drummer. We didn't have to explain anything. She knew the songs.
Yeah.
And because she's young, you don't want to put that in their heads. You don't want to say, be careful. Just play, have fun.
Just make sure the riser is level.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes if a drummer starts tipping over to one side, we assume he's on his way out.
Or she.
Yeah. Yeah, in this case, she was very meticulous about this, about placement of the drum riser.
Yeah.
She had a little, what do they call those, with the bubble inside, a level. Yeah. She had a bit of a level on either side, making sure her bubbles were in a row.
Mm.
And we called her bubbles after a while, although Dee Dee
did.
Yeah, she didn't like that.
No, she didn't.
But you know how you can tell if the drummer's drum riser is level?
How?
Drills out of both corners of his mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a musician's joke.
A lot of musicians' jokes, yeah.
Which is...
What do you call a guitar player without a girlfriend?
What?
Homeless.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots of these.
You said out of his mouth, and was this the first time you've had a woman drummer?
Yes, it was. And so she's not only a woman, obviously, but she's younger by a lot. And that was great energy to come into the group. And it was definitely a different feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must have been like the feeling they got when they finally got a woman to play Peter Pan. You know, they had all these tall actors, you know, playing Peter Pan.
Like who?
Oh, I don't know, C. Aubrey Smith.
But you that know, was in 1896.
Yeah. I'm just talking historically. I wasn't there.
No, you weren't. Yeah,
no.
Okay.
But I mean, once they did, they became liberated, and it was a similar feeling.
Yeah.
When Dee Dee's on the drum stool, we feel like we are being rejuvenated by her spirit.
Yes.
Her incredible, bold, young spirit.
Yes, that's true. It's really good for old people to be around younger people if it's okay with them.
Yeah, and they can always get up and get you a drink if you can't.
Yeah, they can help you lie down or whatever you have
get
to.
Get up.
Yeah, or anything, go to sleep, anything,
Make a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I promise you after I burn, I'm gonna be rotten.
There are some big guests in the documentary and on the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Paul McCartney of the Beatles came by when you were rehearsing Cups and Cakes, song from 1965 you released when you were known as the Thamesman.
Yeah.
What was the energy like in the recording studio that day?
Well, it was great at first. It was lovely at first because he was a fan of Cups and Cakes, which was a number that we had written a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it was lovely to hear that. And then he started throwing his weight around a bit, you know. And no one's saying he's not a good songwriter. He's really a decent songwriter, but he had all this advice, and it was not asked for by me, and it put me out a bit.
Yeah, it was his particular issue, I think. You know, it was not... Dave is a very sensitive person, you know, and even when we've written songs together and he does something and I maybe make a face like that and he'll say, what's your problem, you know? And so.
But then it comes down to you to either fix the problem or to convince me the problem's not a problem.
Okay.
Or to say, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then we go on ending.
Maybe. But in the case of Sir Paul, it's Sir Paul. Sir Paul from the Beatles. He comes in and you sort of got in his face a little bit.
I didn't. Well, not going to talk about it anymore. Okay. No, decent songwriter.
What do you think of his version of Cups and Cakes on the soundtrack? Because he kind of performs it basically on his own on the soundtrack. What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's mostly David's song. It's all David's song. I think it's great. I like it, you know.
I like his version. I do. You can waltz to it, even though it's not in 3/4.
It's not.
You can waltz.
And I don't know how to waltz anyway.
No.
I can't, basically.
It's just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. It's lovely. It's a lovely
time. Well, if it was in... Yeah.
Do you know what's in waltz tempo?
Let me guess.
The Star Spangled Banner. True. And God Save the Queen. Or King in this case. God save the precious king.
1, 2, 3.
And I think your anthem is not while you're marching. Marching song is this.
Right.
And
what's your pants doing there?
Going like this.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, your national anthem can be a lilty kind of thing where you're going, oh, isn't this a lovely land we live in?
Well, okay.
My opinion.
Yeah. Cups and cakes. Cups and cakes, please make sure that nothing breaks. The china's so dear and the treat so clear, and I'm glad that you are here. Milk and sugar, bread and jam, yes please sir and thank you ma'am, here I am.
Well, I do want to go back for a second because, Nigel, you said David is very sensitive and you have been working together for a long time. And the documentary kind of comes to a head when you have a tense confrontation during rehearsal. As a band who's been working together for such a long time, has anything changed in the way that you work through interpersonal conflicts with each other?
I think the main difference is that we know we haven't got a lot of time left. I think when you're in your 20s and your 30s, you think, well, we're going to be on this planet forever. Let's have at it. Yeah. Let's argue until we're both blue in the face and passed out on the carpet.
Yeah, and when you're older, if you have a row, you walk away slower.
It's true.
Mm. Yeah.
You can't turn on your heel and stalk out the room. You sort of like find your way towards the door.
You're thinking the same thing.
Amble.
You're feeling angry.
Yeah.
But you're walking slower because you're older. Yeah.
I mean, youth is often held up as an ideal in rock music, being young and sexy and reckless. How do you think about aging as a rock star and the idea of mortality?
I think that it's never too far from one's poetic soul to know that it all comes to an end. So you better get your work done. You know, when you're in your 30s and such, you sit down to write a song, and you go, finish it later. Now, you sit down to write a song and you say, well, I don't feel like getting up. I might as well finish.
Yeah.
And
if I get up, I might not get down.
Right, yeah. So I have actually found that once we start working on something, that we finish it up pretty good.
Yeah, you've got to, yeah. And I think people are obsessed with death as well in rock and roll. You know, it's not just, we're young. It's also death is in a lot of songs.
Yeah, you know? Always has been.
Yeah.
Another star who joins you in the movie and on the soundtrack is Elton John. He performs Stonehenge with you. What did he bring to the song? What was special that Elton John brought to it?
He brings a sort of a sparkle to everything. You know, if there's a room with Elton John in it, it's a sparkly room. And that's not just from, you know, what he's wearing, which is always a bit sparkly.
Yeah. I found to be on stage and play with him was to look over and think, I can't believe I'm playing with this person, because he's a great artist. He's a great singer, great piano player. It was a real dream come true for me.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah,
and he's a lovely, lovely chap.
Listen, it could be calling now for you, just for you. Flower people, walk on by. Flower people, don't you cry. It's not too late. No. It's not too late.
And you know, he was on stage for Stonehenge. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it does involve the Stonehenge prop. And, you know, musicians are forced to rely more and more on live performance to make a living. And I've noticed the stage has become increasingly elaborate as an aspect of live shows. Earlier this year, Beyonce almost fell off of a prop car floating in midair. Could you speak on the dangers of stage props and the pressure to outdo previous stage designs?
Yeah, in the old days, it was just we standing there, microphones and amplifiers. That's all it was. There was no thing going on. And then in the 90s, we started doing elaborate things flying in from the top of the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does become more dangerous. There's no question about it. And when you're old, you have to think about, should I be doing this? Right?
Yeah, yeah. We haven't played the Sphere, but we're a bit, there's some trepidation about the Sphere because I would have a fear that the damn thing's going to close up on me and I'd...
Well, you're thinking of the Sphincter. We were offered a gig at the Sphincter.
Oh, that's a different gig, right.
That's in Tahoe. That's a different place,
Entirely different.
Yes. Sounds nice.
Not bad.
What would you envision doing at the Sphere if you had that much space?
Well, that's just it. You know, at heart, we're still just a rock and roll band.
Yeah, we stand and play, you know, and so someone would have to come up with some ideas that of things swirling around. You know, maybe camels running around are funny. What else, you know?
No, just camels.
Yeah,
maybe. That's the only thing I can think of is camels.
That's pretty much the only funny thing running quickly is camels. But that would be good for one song at least.
Yeah.
In the past, the band has often been accused of being too loud. And there are several studies out now suggesting that hearing loss among millennials and Gen Z is skyrocketing. Do you feel any kind of responsibility to turn it down?
Well, the thing is, I've got some hearing loss. The thing is, young musicians are wearing in-ear monitors, and so they are actually protecting their ears.
Yeah.
Normal people out there are listening to loud music, and that's going to hurt your ears. But musicians, almost all of them are wearing in-ear monitors. If we'd had that, I wouldn't be talking to you today.
Back in the old days, we didn't have the in-ears. We would have a monitor, a wedge, sitting on the front of the stage.
Yeah.
But that put us right in the middle of the entire
loud
catastrophe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you walk out of the gig, and it's just ringing. You're hearing this humming and ringing.
And it's still ringing in my ears now.
Yeah.
Still.
But there was one time, who was it? It was one of the Brecker brothers, I think, went up to him. He was playing with
Randy
Brecker, playing saxophone.
Yeah.
And he comes over and he uses my harmonica mic, which was set, and he stuck the horn right on it. And I was standing near the monitor.
Yeah,
I can still hear that.
Yeah.
It's like a jalapeno of the ear. The tang lingers on.
Yeah, it's like a knitting needle with a hammer into your head.
Yeah.
And then coming out the other end.
30 years later, I'm hearing that, yeah.
Well, I mean, you are a band that it seems your fan base seems to renew itself over and over again.
We hope.
You've ended the band many times and then you come back together. You sort of seem unstoppable. What do you credit your longevity to?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily a credit at all. It might be a debit that we never quite go away.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, we did this gig in New Orleans. There's a possibility we're going to play a secret gig in the UK.
Yeah.
Watch your calendars for that.
Mm.
You know, we're gonna give it a shot. Maybe nothing's set and we can't tell you where or when, but keep your eyes and ears open. It might happen.
But,
and then after that, who knows?
No one knows. And people, how this is all happening, no one really knows the answer to any of it. You just, someone will say, let's do a thing. Okay, we'll do a thing. And then there are younger people watching who say, yeah, my grandfather remembers you, you know.
Vaguely. Yes.
Well, we are coming to the end of this interview here. And sort of to tie it together from what we've been talking about, Nigel, your amplifier famously goes to 11.
Used to.
I'm curious, does it not anymore?
No, it goes to infinity. Marshall Amplifier Company has made an infinity knob for volume, and it's what it says it is. It's forever and ever and ever and ever louder and louder. Just that's what
and
it is.
And we keep inching further and further away from you. The louder you
Well, but we're wearing in
I'm
here,
so it's
a little better.
So it's kind of both literal and metaphorical. My question was, what lies beyond 11? And I guess you kind of answered it.
Yeah.
Well, Nigel, David, thank you so much for being my guests on World Cafe. And thanks for reuniting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stonehenge, where the demons dwell, where the banshees live and they do live well. Stonehenge, where a man to man and the children dance to the pipes of Pan.
Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard my conversation with Spinal Tap. If you'd like to see that interview with David St. Hubbins and Nigel Tufnell in full costume, you can watch it at worldcafe.org and on our YouTube, youtube.com/worldcafe. Subscribe there if you dare. It is World Cafe. Here's Billie Eilish, Birds of a Feather.
If I'm turning blue, please don't. much, there's so much love to go around. So much love around, round, round, round. Round, round, round. You may find it in yourself now, steady in the confidence you own.
Love, new from Southern Avenue. An artist who could have been a meteorologist in another life, next on World Cafe. I'm Raina. It's World Cafe. In some alternate universe, Nico Case might be delivering your weather forecast, but instead, you can often hear her singing about weather and about nature. When I first heard the new song coming up in a second, I thought of this one by her.
My love, I am the speed of sound. I left the motherless, fatherless.
This tornado loves you, or she sings from the perspective of a tornado. And now if you listen, in this one, she's a meteor, a solar system, and an eruption. It's called Wreck. It's Nico Case.
Calm down, darling. Don't take me to. Whole world that would
You're listening to World Cafe.
A new song from Gorillaz, The Happy Dictator. Leave you to think about that at the end of this hour. Thanks again to Spinal Tap for being my guest today. And thank you to World Cafe producer Miguel Perez for his work on that session. And thank you to all of the wonderful public radio stations who bring you this show, including WBEZ in Chicago. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. And by the Pew Charitable Trusts, sharing about the state of housing in America on the After the Fact podcast, available at pewtrusts.org/afterthefact.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Green Cheese listeners know how important it is to support stations like KAXE KBXE.
Anyone who can, be sure to donate, because as all of us know, we listen to this, Green Cheese, and all the other programming on the stations. We really, really love it and don't want anything to happen to it. So it's really important to give what you can.
One thing I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to everybody out there. Radio is important when it's unique and